Old Ways, Proper Ways. Rikka sat with her boots off on her father's bench as the war chiefs came in, trimming her toenails. Isern sat on the floor to her left with her spear across her knees. Shivers stood on her right with his thumbs in his sword belt. By the dead, she was glad they were there. No better pair in the circle of the world to have on your flanks, and both good and ready for their part in what was coming. First came Red Hat, then Oxal, then Hardbread. Rikka beckoned them forward, friendly as she could. Men used to smile at her a lot, but the old warriors had that nervous air folk tended to have around her since she lost one eye and had the runes pricked around the other. Like if they turned their back on her, she might bite their asses.
"Sorry to keep you boys waiting," she said,
though few men had ever looked less like boys. There was scarcely one dark hair on the three.
"Well,"
grunted Oxal, as their named men crowded silent and suspicious into the hall behind.
"Join the Union or join the North? It's a big choice to make."
"And up till now, it's been little choices for me."
Rikka tossed her scissors down and crossed her legs. "What song to sing, or how short to trim my toenails, or which eye to have pricked out of my head." Hardbread winced at that.
"You've made a choice now, though, have you?"
"I was hoping for a vision to show me the way."
And Rikka raised one arm high to point at the rafters. Then she slumped back on her bench.
"Trouble with visions, though. They're like those little goats the hillmen keep. Stubborn shits they are. There's just no rushing them."
Oxal frowned over at Red Hat, and Red Hat frowned back, and behind them their warriors copied their chiefs, as warriors are prone to do. It was an awful lot of frowns for that one room to hold.
"But then I realized."
Rikka sprang up on her bare feet on the bench, making them all jump.
"This is the North. Who needs the long eye? We've got ways of settling questions up here."
"Proper ways,"
croaked Shivers, red stone glinting on his finger as he shifted his thumbs around the worn buckle of his sword belt.
"Old ways,"
sang Isern Ifail, and she spat chagger juice and wiped her lip.
"Time-tested traditions."
Rikka wagged a finger at the old men, like they'd strayed from the pasture and she was there to play shepherd.
"My father always used to say, you want things right, you have to put them right yourself. No better way to settle a difference of opinion."
And she made a ring with her finger and thumb and peered at him through it with the one eye that still could.
"Than in the circle."
There was no instant enthusiasm from the three old war chiefs. Hardbread was light on enthusiasm, instant or otherwise, and for the other two, a fight to the death is a notion that usually takes some working up to.
"The circle."
Red Hat rested a hand on the pommel of his sword, and the named men filled the hall to the rafters with a nervy murmur.
"It's a bit like a square, but with no corners," said Rikka. "You can step inside and settle this man to man. Ideas can contend. Then, rather than a war and all our strength wasted, we can march into the future arm in arm. For whatever my say's worth, I'll throw it behind the winner. Hardbread, you happy to do the same?"
Hardbread looked the opposite of happy.
"I'd rather find some path that don't need any more blood spilled."
"So'd we all. But up here in the North, most paths worth taking turn out at least a little bloody."
No one disagreed with that. How could they? Hardbread wearily sagged.
"I reckon, if neither of you twain back down."
Neither of the two old warriors looked like backing down a hair. A grey hair, obviously. Red Hat puffed up his chest and shifted his fist from his sword's pommel to its grip with a warlike rattle.
"Guess we'd better pick a time and a place."
Isern whipped back a big canvas sheet and sent straw scattering. Underneath was the circle she'd marked out that morning, 5 strides across on the floor of the hall. She showed the gap in her teeth as she grinned.
"No time like now, my beauties."
"No place like here,"
croaked Shivers. "You're eager to get it settled, and you're right to be eager." Ricker turned her left eye towards the old men, who looked less eager than ever, and opened it very wide.
"It's not just me needs to know Ufrith's future."
Isern leaned down and flicked the pommel of Oxal's sword with her fingernail.
"You've both come armed, so do we need all that pother with the choosing of the weapons, or can we get straight to the bloodshed?"
Oxal stretched up his chin and scratched at the white beard on his neck. Plainly wasn't much enjoying this sudden rush into death's cold embrace, but could see no way to stop it either. A war chief's fame is all built on fighting, after all. Backing down from a fight could be the end of him.
"We can get straight to it,"
he growled and drew his sword. Red Hat drew his at about the same moment.
"Aye, let's settle it here and now."
"Shields for the rest of you, then," cried Isern, clapping her hands, "and into the circle with our two grey champions."
There was none of the usual trading of insults as Oxal's men and Red Hat slid their shields onto their arms and made a wall around the circle's edge, all shocked into quiet at how quick this had come about. Oxal worked his head around with a click of neck bones. Red Hat undid the golden buckle on his cloak and tossed it over his shoulder to one of his men. Both of them bristled, like they were still as brimming with vinegar at 60 as they'd been at 20, and both of them quite clearly weren't. Maybe if they had been, they wouldn't have got so easily prodded into fighting each other. But then getting warriors to fight has always been easy. It's stopping the bastards that's the tougher trick.
"Well, here is a business the moon can smile upon," called Isern. "We all know what the matter is, and we all know what hangs on the result. Get to it."
She slipped from the circle, giving no one any time for second thoughts, and the shields were locked together behind her, metal rims scraping, painted faces pointing in. With some reluctance, the two old war chiefs began to circle. Red Hat with his sword point up, Oxal with his out to the side. They circled closer, Oxal with his teeth bared and Red Hat's tongue working at his lower lip. They circled closer yet, then Red Hat stabbed and Oxal parried, chopped back, and Red Hat ducked away. Shield carriers gasped and shields scraped as the circle flexed and shifted. Then the noise mounted, men behind pressing in and calling out and shaking their fists, then grunting and shouting and bellowing encouragement till there was a roaring in the hall might have waked Ricker's father where he lay in the deep dark earth just outside the wooden walls. She pulled the old sheepskin tight around her shoulders. Still smelled like him somehow. She wished for a moment he could be woken, and thought of him striding in to see what all the fuss was about, thought of him smiling at her the way he used to, like she was the most precious thing he had, the most precious thing there was. Then she wondered if he would smile when he saw her blinded eye and the runes on her face, wondered if he'd have stared, fearful and queasy like everyone else. The thought made a tear gather in her blind eye that she had to dab away. By then, she wasn't the only one leaking. Blood was trickling from Red Hat's sleeve and tip-tapping from his fingertips, and Oxal had a red mouth from an elbow and was carrying a bit of a limp. Almost made Ricker feel bad, setting two old men to kill each other, but she had to make of her heart a stone. Someone had to steer Ufrith, now her father was gone. Steel clanged, and the two old war chiefs groaned, tottered, and wrestled, tired and clumsy. Bit of an unedifying spectacle, all in all. There's a reason fighting mostly gets left to the young. Oxal's chest heaved, his sword drooped. Red Hat's twisted face glimmered with sweat as he gathered himself for one more effort, but it was clear where it had fallen. He swung overhand, and Oxal stumbled out of the way. He barely even thrust, really. It was more that Red Hat slipped, and as luck would have it, he fell right onto Oxal's sword. Luck can be quite the dodgy bitch, after all. The blade slid right through him, and Red Hat's jacket stuck out to a glinting point behind his back. Then the whole thing started turning red, not just his hood. His face went pink, veins bulging from his neck, and he tried to speak, but just spluttered blood onto the ground. Oxal ripped his blade back, and Red Hat tottered, sword hanging from his hand and the point scraping the floor. He coughed and retched like he couldn't get a breath. He gave a hissing groan as he lifted his sword one more time, and Oxal took a cautious step back, but all Red Hat did was fish at the air with it, then turn all the way around and crash onto his side. Blood trickled out of his mouth and spread down the cracks between the stones around him, and his eyes goggled at nothing.
"Reckon Ufrith won't be joining the Union anyway," said Isern, leaning on her spear.
Oxal's men sent up a great cheer. Red Hat's drooped, sullen and silent. Ricker had always liked Red Hat. He'd laughed at her jokes when she was a girl. He'd talked with her father into the night, firelight on their lined faces. And out of joining the Union or joining the North, she reckoned his had been much the better idea. But someone had to steer Ufrith now, and it couldn't be him.
"I win!" roared Oxal, holding up his bloody sword. "I fucking win! Send word to the Great Wolf that we're joining the North and—"
Whoa, called Ricker, holding her palms high and bringing every face towards her. "Let's not dash off ahead of ourselves. I never agreed to that."
"You said you'd fall behind the winner."
"I said ideas should contend. I didn't say there were only two." Oxal's face twisted.
"What the fuck do you mean, girl?"
"Red Hat said join the Union. You said join the North. Spat it at me over my father's grave, as I recall." She gave it a moment, feeling her own heart thumping hard in her chest, then shrugged as if she hadn't a care. "I say we stay as we are, as my father wanted us, independent."
"Who fights for that?"
sneered Oxal.
"You?
A woman in the circle? Wouldn't dream of polluting the proud institution by sticking my tits in it. First step in getting anything done is knowing what you can't do, and I wouldn't last two breaths in there with you. Reckon I'll leave it to my champion." And Shivers brushed one of Red Hat's shield carriers out of his way and stepped past, grey sword drawn and hanging by his side. "I mean, why even have a champion if he doesn't fight your duels?" A mutter went through the watching men, Oxal's men and Red Hat's and Hardbreads and the rest. Fear and anger and excitement, too. The Bloody Nine was the worst man in the world to find yourself in the circle with, but Call Shivers came a close second.
"You tricky bitch,"
snarled Oxal. Ricker laughed.
"Aye, tricky Ricker. But this is the North. Tricks are a tradition even older and more proper than duels."
She let her smile fade.
"My father fought all his life so we could be free. Fought his friends and his enemies. Fought Black Dow and Black Calder and Scale Ironhand and Stour Nightfall and never lost. Gave everything for it. Gave till he was a husk. Think I'm going to give up what he gave me just because you ask?"
She curled back her lips and screamed it, spraying spit.
"You didn't even fucking ask nicely!"
Oxal worked his mouth.
"We'll see, you little cunt."
"I do the seeing."
Ricker nodded at Shivers.
"The dead are blind."
To be fair, Oxal gave her a shock of his own by springing forward without even waiting for Red Hat's corpse to get dragged out, lashing at Shiver's blindside with everything he had. No doubt he thought his best bet was surprise and knew his chances would wither with every swing. No doubt he was right. It was a good effort, but Shivers was fresher and stronger and quicker, and Ricker never yet saw him surprised. He caught Oxal's sword with his own, metal squealing as he steered it wide to hack a long scar in one of the shields at the edge of the circle. Oxal righted himself as Shivers stepped back into space, weighing his sword, the bright rune near the hilt glinting on the dull blade.
"Come on, you bastard!"
he snarled.
Come on, you half-blind maggot! I'll cut a new arse on you!
Shivers wasted no breath on hard words, just watched, calm as a fisherman waiting for the tide. Oxhall came on, fainted low but swung high. Ricker gasped, sure he'd caught Shivers in the face, knowing the future of Ufrith, not to mention her own, was hanging by a thread. But Shivers whipped back from the waist at the last moment, let the blade whistle past his nose, let Oxhall stumble after it. Call Shivers wasn't Stour Nightfall. If he'd ever had a mind to show off, he'd left it far in the past with his other eye. His sword chopped deep into Oxhall's side, under his ribs, specks of blood spattering the gawping faces of his shield carriers. Oxhall staggered sideways, giving a bubbling wheeze, clutching at his side, and the blood leaking dark between his fingers. He tried a despairing lunge, all off balance, but Shivers stepped around it, pinned Oxhall's right arm under his left, lifted his sword high, and clubbed Oxhall on the crown of his head with the pommel. Sounded like someone hitting a pot with a hammer. Oxhall's sword clattered to the ground, and he dropped to his knees, blood bubbling through his hair and running down his face in red streaks. He gave a funny slurp and looked up at Ricker.
You!
Shiver's sword pinged as it took Oxhall's head off and sent it bouncing across the circle. One of Red Hat's shield carriers jumped out of the way to let it roll past. Shivers turned to Oxhall's men as their chief's body flopped sideways. He didn't roar in triumph or throw his arms up in victory or bellow insults, just looked at them like he was making an offer and wasn't much bothered either way whether anyone took him up on it. No one did a thing. No one said a thing. Just a long silence as the wash of blood from Oxhall's corpse became a stream, then a trickle, a great slick of it joining with Red Hat's and slowly spreading. Ricker put her hand on Shiver's shoulder and slipped past him, padding into the centre of the circle.
"Any more ideas need testing?"
she asked, turning all the way around so everyone got the chance to speak. She'd no idea what she'd have done if someone spoke up, but no one did a thing. No one said a thing.
"Anyone else want to go their own way?"
Her mouth was dry and her pulse thumped in her skull. But there was silence like winter, silence like death.
"No more opinions. No one?"
The named men shuffled meek out of her path, shields limp on their arms, as Ricker wandered back to her bench, bare feet leaving a trail of bloody footprints across the floor of her father's hall.
"What happens now?"
muttered Hardbread, staring at the two corpses and clutching at his sparse white hair.
"I know exactly what'll happen," said Ricker,
even if a lot of it was a sea of doubts, and she sat back down and dragged that sheepskin around her shoulders.
"I've seen it." "What have you seen?"
asked one of Red Hat's men, angry at what had happened, maybe, but with a touch of curiosity in his voice too, a needy little whine. In the end, no matter what they say, most folk want a path to follow. Someone to tell them it'll all be fine. Someone to tell them what to do.
"I know you lot love to worry, but you can stop now."
Ricker tipped her head on one side and smiled. She didn't have to put any threat in it. The runes on her face did that for her. Well, the runes and the two corpses and Shivers standing speckled with their blood.
"All you have to do is what I tell you. You can do that, can't you?"
Like Ricker's father used to say, you want things right, you have to put 'em right yourself. She took up her scissors and brought her knee up to her chin and set to trimming her toenails again. The big one on her left foot had this funny little spike of skin at the corner. Always took a while to shape it nicely.